And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And also, going out to our friends 89.0, coming out of Free FM. Just a bit of blank air there. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Aaron, for the congratulations there. And in the show today, we are going to be joined by the Cutty Oil Project coming in later on to talk about what they're up to. We'll probably do some weather and gardening to-dos and such things on the way through as well. But we're going to start the show with a Mountain Bird song, White Valiant.
And the crowd Rightio, folks, that was the Mutton Boots there with White Valiant, and I'm still getting things organised here in the studio. We'll probably come back some weather pretty shortly, but for now I'm going to play for you a song by Bill Withers live called Grandma's Hands.
And I remember the first responsibility I ever had was to take care of my grandmother, make sure she got everywhere okay. And at that time, I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And the most I could have done was let her fall on me if she decided to fall. But it was a hip job because Grandma never went nowhere but to church. And it wasn't one of them sad churches where they sing them songs that make you wish you could just hurry up and die and get it over with. One of them kind of let me out the river. No, man, no. Grandma and them had one of them churches where they sung, if you wanna have me, Jesus, it's all right. If you wanna have me, Jesus, it's all right. And at the funeral, they used to have to tie the caskets down. Yeah. Yeah. And they had them fat sisters in there used to get so glad and in the rhythm. Had a little stove in the center of the church for heat, and invariably one of them fat sisters would feel so good she would jump into the stove and holler, ow, right in the rhythm. Grandma was like Bobby over here, Bobby Hall. She had a tambourine and a triangle. When I saw Bobby with that tambourine and triangle, I couldn't help but hug her. But Grandma couldn't play the triangle good like Bobby can, but she could deal with the tambourine. So I used to sit on the triangle and hand her the tambourine. And the Honorable Reverend back there had an old bass drum that somebody gave him. And when the groove got right and the fat sister hit the stove and hollered and Grandma shook the tambourine off the hip, the Reverend would get the feeling so good, he'd just hit himself all upside the head with the drumstick. Yeah. I love that old lady. Love that old lady. Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Whoa. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, Grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hand. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hands used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hands pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hand.
There we are, folks. That was Bill Withers there with Grandma's Hands live from the Carnegie Hall. And we're going to do some weather now on the Over the Fence show. And it is a beautiful day out there today in Whangarei here. It is pretty still and lovely and sunny. And so just had DJ Savage in the studio. He's just getting off to get a show ready tonight, 6:30. So anyway, back to the weather. To the big picture, weather was a large and strong high pressure zone is today and Thursday crossing New Zealand. Behind it over the coming days, we get a new low pressure zone forming in the Tasman Sea. And that's likely to move in this coming weekend with some wet weather. Yes, I've heard the weekend's going to be pretty rough. Rain's a dry, dry day across New Zealand thanks to the strong high pressure zone. The only region that is exposed to a few showers is Fiordland down in the rainforest and that down there. Not too windy today, light winds sort of here and there, brisk northerly down the capital, and a breezy westerly blowing past Bluff and some of the parts that way down south there, and a frosty start to the morning. Yeah, a few frosts I've seen, tomato kind of ways in that this morning, only a light one though, but maybe frosts were in Auckland this morning, they were saying, inland areas, and fairly mild afternoon. Yeah, it's lovely and warm here today, like I said. And over the next few days, there's a big high pressure zone moves off the northeast of the country on Friday and Saturday, and this helps dredge down mild subtropical air from around Fiji and Tonga. This means that overnight lows will also be going up and the risk of frost all but disappear nationwide by Friday. But Friday night, however, and going into Saturday, the low pressure from the Tassies will move into the western North Island and perhaps up the South Island, bringing some mild rain. The weekend forecast is a little bit messy. But there is going to be some sort of rain, although the subtropical thing, so yeah, they kind of don't really know how it's going to go. But yes, there most likely be rain, could be heavy maybe, depending how it goes and what else is going to happen through the rest of the week. Well, 14 degrees highs, I think it'll be probably higher than that, but that's what they're saying, but I'm saying it'll be probably higher than that. Saudi, sunny and clouds, yeah, a few clouds, so much the same tomorrow. During the day, and then some showers possibly Friday with sunny spells, then rain Saturday, Sunday, then sort of showers Monday, then sort of cloudy and sunny into early next week, and the daytime highs range between like 13 and 16 degrees, and the nighttime highs between sort of 9 today, then between 11 and 13 till Sunday, and then dropping down into single digits somewhere between 6 and 8 degrees into early next week. And the winds are west-southwesterly today, westerly tomorrow, west-northwesterly Friday, nor-northwesterly Saturday, nor-westerly Sunday, west-southwesterly Monday, south-westerly Tuesday, Wednesday into early next week. And the humidity today is 75%. And what else can I bring you here? Well, the sun rose this morning at 7:08 and will set at 5:45 this evening. The length of visible light is 11 hours and 31 minutes. Well, that's coming up quickly, isn't it? Nearly at 12 hours. The actual day length is 10 hours and 36 minutes, and tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 4 seconds longer than it is today. And the beautiful moon, yes, waxing gibbous moon, 64% illuminated, and that will rise, well, just did about an hour ago, at 11:39, and will set at 2:10 in the morning. I did see it. When was that? Last night, I think. Pretty high in the sky, but yes. So there's the some weather. And now I'm going to play for you a request for Mike at the Community House, and that is Brian Ferry with This Island Earth. Catch me falling, finally. Through the air and underground, everywhere this sound screams a whisper. No. Folks, that was This Island Earth by Brian Ferry there. That goes up to Mike at the Community House. And we'll do some public service announcements here on the show, on the Over the Fence show now. And I've just popped into the Community House on the way down here quickly. And it is Koha Kai Day up there today. And they have some beautiful pumpkin soup with some lovely rawana bread and also some delicious apple and walnut loaf on the menu today. So that's free feed, but if you can afford some koha, drop some in the kitty up there. And yes, it's a great service that they, Mike and the good team up there do every Wednesdays during these cooler sort of months. And next door in the entranceway to the town hall, Jasmine has put out the Aroha seed stand, as she does every day, and some beautiful seasonal seeds. And it's coming into the time, if you remember, I was talking to Tanya last week, to plant lots of things getting ready for the upcoming warmer months. So I haven't actually checked, had a chance to check out what's in there today, but no doubt there'll be a lot of goodness and good seeds in there, as there always is. And also, I have a few other announcements I'll make today as well. And there is going to be two Energy Mentor Advice Clinics for everybody, open to the public, on Sunday the 25th of August from 11 to 1 and Wednesday 4th of September 5:30 to 7:30. And these are all about, if you can come on in and you can learn how to save yourself money basically in your house by using your energy more efficiently and making your house run better. Through keeping the water out and the warmth in and such things. And that's, yeah, and get advice on, yeah, all things home-related, how to keep yourself warm and save yourself some money in the end on your power bills and things like that. So that's Energy Mentor Advice Clinics, Sunday, 25th of August and Wednesday, 4th of September. Wednesday, 4th of September is 1, 5 to 7:30 and 25th of August, 1 on Sunday is 11 to 1. And again, last week we were talking to Tanya and Sharing Land to Grow Food, like she was talking about. It's the 15th of August, so that's Thursday, tomorrow, as a matter of fact. That's tomorrow from 6 to 8:30. Yep, so good place to go along if you're interested in getting together with a bunch of people to grow food, as they did with Pinkmans and Kumara on Marion's Place a while ago, and they want to get a few more places up and running like that. So an excellent way to grow food as a community and with a bunch of people and have some fun doing it. So that's tomorrow from 6 to 8:30. And also I have got, there's a book launch coming up too. Thank you, Lara, for this one. I'm not trying to get in on the show about this one too, actually, Lara. And it is a book launch about the upcoming event, Oliver McLeod's Geological Research of Mount Akarioi. To discover its rich and ancient history, much of what makes a whangarau special is due to volcanoes erupting 2.6 and 2.3 million years ago. Oliver has informed us, so there we are. There's a book launch coming up, and that's going to be fun. I think there's going to be a model. We were talking about making it like a model thing too of the thing, and that's the 7th of September. More details to come on that one. And there's something else, isn't there, Denise? I was going to talk about, the Cozy Up for winter event. Where's that one? If I can find it. Here we are, Cozy Up for Winter. And that is a workshop creating a warmer home. Sort of similar to the ones that we were talking about before. So and the thing is there, tired of being in a cold house with sick whānau and sky-high energy bills? Join your local high-performance advisor, Denise Twenyman, and energy mentor, Christy Lawson, for this free two-part workshop where you learn simple tips and tricks on how to create a warm, healthy home to get the most out of your energy provider. And you'll also get a bunch of free stuff that you can use in your house to do that. The first one of that one is the 18th, so that's this Sunday, from 1 to 2:30. So this Sunday, 1 to 2:30. So get along to that. That's in the community house basement, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and you get a swag of little things for free you can take home and use in your house to stop drafts and insulate windows a bit better and stuff like that. And that's going to be all free. So you're just going to turn up, I think it's community house basement, from this Sunday, the 18th of August, from 1 to 2:30. And I think that is the only public service announcement I'm going to do for today. And right now I'm going to play for you a song. And I think our guests are on the way, so they'll be here shortly for the Cutty Oil Project. So here's, they're here right now. There goes the song anyway. Here's Valleys of Neptune by Jimi Hendrix. We'll be back with the lovely Crystal and the Handsome Louie straight after this.
If I stay too long, Christmas woman, I say. Women here, women there, try to give me head up, but I say, okay. But they don't realize that it's so easy to pray, baby. Yeah, but sometimes I can feel my heart kind of getting hard. That's when I got to move, because I'll get caught. So can't you understand, that's why. Lord, you can't hold me down. I don't want to be tied down. I got to move on.
Here. Now we are joined in the studio by Crystal and Louis from the Curio Project. Welcome in, folks.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to see you both.
So we'll get our flow on.
Yeah.
Get the flow on.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes. Yeah,
good to be here.
Good to see you here. Mm. Actually, listen back to the last interview we did, Crystal. It was like in April in 2022. It's like over 2 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, yeah.
Seems like only yesterday.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. And it was a money-raising thing then. A give a little thing. Which is kind of what we're going to be talking about.
Convincing you about then?
It looks like we just use you for money.
Yeah.
Well, making money.
Well, hey, man.
Hey.
That's what I'm here for, right?
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. I'm just trying to help you, Louis, you know. But that's what the main gist of what we're going to talk about today. But firstly, because the show goes to our lovely friends over in Free FM and a few people in the community, mate, still not have heard of the Curio Project. So, Crystal, what's the Curio Project?
Well, the Curio Project is a community-based biodiversity project in Raglan. So we kind of improving biodiversity, connecting people to nature and inspiring them to care for it.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
And the mahi is?
So we do lots of predator control.
Yes.
We have a seabird monitoring program. We do all sorts of monitoring, really.
Yes.
And we have an education program as well. And then we have a program called our Backyard Hub, which gets basically any family or landowner around the region. And it's a pretty big region, not just on Curio, but around Curio. Can get involved in predator control, and we set you up and help you get traps and train you up, and off you go.
So it'll be tomato, ruapuki, all around those ways.
Yeah. So kind of our whole landscape, I guess, is everything from Aotea Harbour to Whangaroa Harbour and the Divi. So
it's a big area.
We kind of see that, like, as it's a bit of a peninsula, actually.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
So that's us. Yeah.
And you've been at it how long now, Crystal?
15 years.
15 short years.
Yes. Yeah. I was young when I started. Very young.
And you still look it, Crystal. You still look it. And Louis, what do you do for the Curio Project? How did you get involved?
I'm the main sort of ranger on the mountain. So yeah.
The main one?
Well, I do the most hours, I guess. That's that, you know, drive the ute. So,
Chief Ranger.
Chief Ranger Louie.
I just try and play that down, but, you know, I spend the most time up there, which is cool. It's the best job, really. Yeah.
And so you cut the tracks in that as well?
We cut some tracks. We do monitoring staff, so we're monitoring rat and possum numbers, pest numbers, and traps, deploying traps, and sometimes checking traps, but we actually have mainly volunteers for that. Mm. So we've got how many volunteers, Crystal?
About 100 regular ones.
About 100. So we've got a big group of volunteers. We always could do with more.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little town like Raglan, everyone's sort of greeny in some way, so you know, come on Raglan.
And
Hamilton.
And Hamilton for sure.
Good. Can we get some awesome Hamilton volunteers actually?
Okay.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Perfect excuse to get outside and walk through the bush, right?
That's right. And like, you know, some people just sign up for once a month, come and spend a morning or an afternoon, and then they head off home again.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Say I'm kind of lazy and, you know, put on a bit of weight and I've got a sore back or something like that. Can I still do something?
Yeah, we've got, like, trap lines that are suitable for, like, less able or fitter people, and then way more challenging lines for the people that really want to get a good workout.
Yeah.
So we pretty much can cater for anything.
Mm. We also have one-off volunteer sort of days regularly throughout the year, so we've got bait operations where we have a bunch of bait stations on the mountain because we don't do 1080 drops. Well, we haven't, Doc haven't done them for a long time on Kariwai.
Because you're a good mahi, I presume.
Yeah, because we're doing the work, and so we have bait stations that we fill. So we have volunteers doing that, and so you can sit down and bag up bait, or you can walk up and fill the stations on the mountain. So, yeah.
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 And you could make traps as well, couldn't you? Is that a separate thing?
Yeah, working bees, doing all sorts of different things. And also, like, sometimes people just, like, volunteer. Like, we wanted to make a promo video and then someone volunteered their time and made it for us.
Nice.
You know, so, I mean, there's all sorts of ways, like photography, marketing, helping with fundraising, like we do, you know, community outreach days. Like, say, if there's Maui Dolphin Day, we might have a stand. There's just so many ways that people can help us out. And so just if you want to offer your skills, then give us a call.
Yeah, some people have real specialist skills, and normally there's a way that we can work with that, you know.
Mm.
So you just got to offer.
Mm. Yeah, right on. And the best way to get a hold of the Cutting Your Project is?
Either probably our website or Facebook page. Just send us a message.
Right on.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Just cuttingyourproject.co.nz.
Simple as that, folks. Cuttingyourproject.co.nz. And right now, you're in the motion of a bit of a give a little campaign because why, Crystal?
Yeah, so, well, we obviously have to do a lot of fundraising to keep this project going. And
yes.
We're employing people and there's just lots of work going on.
Mm.
So this year we've got a give a little campaign. So we're trying to raise $30,000. So one of the things is that because of this huge network we have, our guys, our rangers, guys and girls, will spend hours walking up and down across farmland to get to the bush line.
Can't Louis just carry these people on his back?
Well, he does, you know, and he's impressive.
Yeah, one on each arm.
You know, but, you know, we like Louis to come back before dark.
Okay.
And that's hard sometimes. So
the bush is nice at night.
Yeah, it is. So when we have a side-by-side, and we've had amazing farmer support who have lent us their side-by-side,
nice.
But ideally we'd like to buy our own, and it just will make our life so much more efficient. It also helps us transport volunteers, and if we can raise enough money, and then we can also apply for a grant, hopefully, like, we might even get an electric one. So there's all sorts of options as to, you know, depending on how much money we raise. But at the moment that we've set a target of 30,000.
Yeah.
And if we can raise more, we will put the rest towards an education vehicle.
Yeah.
So because we travel around with a lot of kids.
Like a van or whatever.
Van. So we could replace our van. So the money won't go to waste whatever we raise. So at the moment we started our appeal last Friday.
Yes.
It's called Power Our Rangers. It's a give a little page. And
you've got a cool video too there, haven't you?
Pardon?
Cool video too, isn't it?
Yeah, so far we've raised over $7,000.
That's cool.
Yeah, but yeah. I think, yeah, the main attraction is this awesome video that we've made. It'll take 1 minute of your life to watch it.
If you look at the page, you kind of have to watch the video. Otherwise, it seems confusing. Why is there half-naked people smeared in mud with animal skins on? So, you know, you got to watch the video. Yeah. But I will say, you know, I'm a little bit of a critic of the video. I was pushing for more conceptual. I wanted, you know, to push the concept further, but luckily we have a consensus sort of team-making decision, because otherwise it could have been infamous, which actually, you know, any attention is good attention.
Yeah, so it's not as clubby and cavey as you wanted, Louis.
Yeah. It's a little bit more conservative.
I have watched it, yes. Mm. Took me a while to figure out what was going on, to be honest.
yeah. Well, that's yeah. I mean,
I don't understand what you mean.
The idea, it was supposed to be that I'll paint a picture so people get the idea. But
everyone's already on their phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was supposed to be that we're sort of living in the past, so we're in this sort of prehistoric garb, and we're sort of running up the hill, living in the old dark ages, and then along comes the side by side, and we've finally moved with the times. But and we're in the future. Well, we're in the present, I guess. So that was the concept. I don't know if it gets across, but hey, it's a good laugh.
No, but by the end of it, I was like, oh, that's what it was all about.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to a friend this morning. She goes, oh, I love the video and the marketing you've done around it. And I was like, oh, thanks. And then she goes, oh, it's like, Georgia's like pregnant. And I was like, yeah, we had to get it. This was shot a week before she was due.
Right.
And actually, one of the scenes, she, like, we had her, like, giving birth and, like, lying there going, and her face was all contorted, and we had, like, a video on her forehead to get the facial expression. She was a GMA. She was so good at it.
She
gave birth, and then, like, Summer pulled out the baby kind of thing, and then this teddy bear comes out.
We might do a bloopers reel
bloopers reel.
There was also one of that, yeah. There was our younger range. No, I won't go into the details, but there's some pretty racy bloopers there.
Ooh.
So wait for that.
The guys are in loincloths.
Yeah, there's loincloths. There's a bit of skin. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but anyway, we had a lot of fun. It was kind of like a team bonding day. There was a lot of mud, and, like, I mean, I remember standing there when we were shooting the bit of Louis. He kind of goes off track and rolls down the hill, and he literally just throws himself down the hill and, like, lands in the pond, and I'm just standing there going, what the hell was happening?
I'm committed to the cause.
Yeah,
it's a shame there wasn't more. Yeah, I think that could have been more of a feature, personally. I put a lot of effort into that, and, you know.
That don't make the cut either, Louis.
I always love it when people give feedback after the release instead of during the editing process.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I ended up with a rash on my inner groin after that, so, you know, I'm quite committed.
Took it for the team, Louis.
I took it for the team. So, anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit of fun.
Anyway. Oh, well, why don't we make it now, then, if you get up to 15, when you get up to 15,000 over the next couple of days. The bloopers reel comes out. That'll be a good one to put out for the people to get them excited about it.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I reckon we should do some bloopers,
Okay. Mm. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. You've started on Friday.
We want people to take us seriously as well.
Yes.
We're a professional group of people, you know, doing hard work.
although, I don't want to undermine what you're saying. Yes, we are professional. We care about what we're doing. But conservation is always so serious and somber, and like, oh, all conservationists must be like boring, humorless, like people just out there communing in the bush. But actually, you know, we can have a laugh.
We have a lot of laughs.
We can have a laugh. So that was part of the concept.
Mm. Yeah.
Bit of black humour.
But yeah, we are actually genuinely trying to make a difference with what we do. We're not just traipsing around the bush half naked for fun. So that's a good sort of point to put in there.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough, Louis. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So you started Friday, and you raised 7,500 or something.
Day four, so 7,000. Yes. So today,
and that was with a bit of help from Match funding.
Yeah, so we had Golden Homes come on as a match funder, which means that every dollar someone donates, they'll match it.
Yes.
So yesterday, I think in one day, we raised $2,000
because they put up
$1,000. So thank you, Golden Homes. And today, we've got BizWorks. They've put up $500. And every dollar people donate will be matched by BizWorks, up to $500.
Good on you, BizWorks.
So, yeah, pretty cool, eh? Local business.
Yes.
So, and we might get a few more businesses to help match fund.
Excellent.
So any businesses that haven't been chased down by us and who are keen to support, you know, give us a call because we can definitely have more match funders.
Right on. Mm. And, yes, worthy cause.
Really worthy cause. I think, I mean, it's an awesome project, and so much of the community is connected to the project in some way, whether having your own trips, having kids in our education program. Like, we, you know, do education stuff with Raglan Area School and other local schools like Te Mata and Te Uku, you know, when we can. And so, you know, lots of our local kids, you know, learn to trap and learn about what we're all about. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool that we can offer this local employment. So we've had graduates from our education program come in and work for us. We've got Lenny and Caleb at the moment who've been students at Raglan Area and now working for us.
That's cool.
And then we've got, you know,
was Louis a young
Louis kind of?
Did he come up through the ranks? Did he?
Yeah. born and raised
in Raglan, and now working for the Kariwi Project.
Yeah, dream job.
It's pretty cool. Now we just got amazing people, and yeah, I keep saying to people, like, man, it's not hard to go to work. Like, we just got amazing bunch of people to work with, awesome volunteers, and it's just fun being able to work in this community and be part of something like this.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky.
And you had a thing, was that last week or maybe a week before, on Rangatahi, right? Who's the name of that singer? Wuthering Heights? Kate Bush, is it?
Oh, Kate Bush.
Yes. How'd that one go?
Yeah, they raised a couple of $100 for us, which was really nice. They do that song and the dance.
Yeah.
They all dress up in red and do their, like, you know, thing.
I might have to play that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They come back every year, and they're going to keep doing it, and they've chosen us as their charity partner.
Oh, it's just like a bunch of locals who do it every year or whatever.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
they come in and do the dance, and I think they keep wanting to add more and more dancers.
Yeah.
And then they had like a donation bucket and people, so they raised a couple of $100. And, like, honestly, we just appreciate every dollar that people give us. Like, it's such a boost for us because fundraising is hard and, you know, there's change in government means change in funding. We constantly have to pivot and find different ways to raise money. We've got some amazing locals in this community that are donating on a regular basis already.
Good on you, people.
And so that's awesome, and that allows us to do what we're doing and employ people. And, just all these little bits help.
Mm.
Makes such a difference.
Yeah, yeah, right on. Mm. Every dollar counts, like you say. Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
And, so when does the Give a Little campaign for the Cyber Side end again, Crystal?
Yeah, I think it goes for 2 weeks. I think end of next week.
I think there's 10 more days.
Yeah,
10 more days.
10 more days. Okay. Yeah. So we've got a ways to go. We're on track.
Yes.
But hopefully, people are noticing this. People are seeing it pop up in their emails or social media. We've got posters around town.
Mm.
Obviously radio.
Yes.
But also, you know, we've got Hamilton businesses sending us volunteers.
Excellent.
You know, we've got people throughout the region that are wanting to support, or they love coming to Raglan, or they've got a business in Hamilton and they love, you know, they might have a house in Raglan. Mm. And so they want to support. So we're definitely not just focusing on the Raglan community only. Kind of focusing on the greater Waikato and inviting people to be part of this because if we kind of want to protect these beautiful natural spaces that we have, we need everyone on board.
Absolutely, yes. And like you say, a lot of people come out to beautiful Whangarau to enjoy the lovely Upper Wanui bushwalk, and that's where you started, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Back in the days. Those sort of things. And a beach course.
Yeah.
Where always, you know, your famous always and that like to go, and penguins and whatever.
Seabirds coming in, penguins are coming in, like without... Yeah, like there's a lot of work going on at the moment. And I know a lot of people don't get to see this stuff and that makes it harder, but everyone that lives on the coast especially and even in their own backyards here in town, people are saying how much they can see the bird life flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And the forest is flourishing.
I mean, for me, it's only anecdotal, but compared to when I was a kid going up in the bush, I can definitely tell that there's more bird life up there. Yeah. Heaps of korimako, bell birds, and meromero, the tomtits, and kereru, and tuis, they're up there. So,
how many kererus are there around?
Oh, we haven't good question.
Quite a few, but. You know?
There's heaps up there.
But they reckon when you've got lots of kereru, you'll see flocks of them.
It's funny because down where I've got a piece of land down sort of by Taumaranui and there's heaps of wild cherries everywhere. Mm. So in the right season, you see like 30 in a flock, which, you know, even 30, there would have been hundreds, you know, back in the day. There would have been flocks of hundreds. So, we don't quite get big flocks, but you do see them really regularly up in the bush, which is good.
How many nice big pootities are up the mountain there? Is there a few or no?
Apparently there's a story that there's like, I think it was like 19 or 29 like grandfather pootities. I don't know where that exactly if that's accurate, but there's probably more.
Up the mountain you're talking about?
Yeah.
29 of them or something?
Those are the really old ones. But I don't know if that's true. That's just the story I've heard. But
you found them, Louis?
I found a few of them. There's some. Actually, there used to be probably the biggest pootity in the whole country.
Big claim, Louis.
A big claim. It's a big claim. Just past Te Toto. But it's blown over onto its side now. But apparently, according to some people, maybe the biggest pootity in the whole country. But yeah, there's some big trees up there.
Luckily, they can blow over and grow again, though, pootities, isn't it?
They do, they're resilient,
So it might be life in it,
Yeah, they can grow to thousands of years old.
Man, I've seen one just out of Opotiki, Woodlands Park or something. So it's 2,000 years old.
Mm.
Massive, man. Gnarly. Big hole through the middle of it sort of thing. Cool tree.
Yeah, it's amazing. Ironwood is one name for it.
So
it's really hard wood.
They used to use hunakis back in the days because it's one of the only native woods that sunk.
Heavy. We also have foe on the mountain, which is the opposite. It's super light, and so you can use that for fishing floats. So we've got both ends of the spectrum, which is pretty cool.
Right on.
The other cool thing, it flies, but it's not a bird, is bats.
Oh, yes.
So we're putting some monitors out again, but we've done a couple of big, large-scale kind of monitoring of bats, and we've got plenty of bats around.
Is it? Short tail and long tails, eh? Bats.
Yep,
it's
both.
Yeah.
And are they both around here?
We've got short tails, probably, I think.
Yeah, I think the other one is in there. I keep forgetting.
I'm pretty sure it's short tails that we have mainly around here.
Georgia might be telling us.
She might be.
Get it right. We've got bats, and the cool thing is, actually, they're not far probably from where you live.
Yeah.
Like, we've monitored all around the mountain and, like, around town and main road and all that and, like, different, you know, random little spots.
Mm.
And actually, heaps of them are actually around, like, not on the mountain, but around the mountain.
Interesting.
And and we're picking up, you know, you pick up passes with these monitors that pick up the sound of them. And so that's pretty cool, and it's really encouraging that, you know, like, people are also seeing them.
Do they eat, like, insects or something? Or?
Yeah, and, like, they're really vulnerable to predation as well. So if you do predator control in your backyard and you've got some big trees there and you've got roosting sites for bats, you'll protect them.
Cool.
Cool.
I wonder if it's a time to talk about dog control management.
Yeah, so...
Is it tell the people off time, is it, Louis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Well encourage.
That's the word, isn't it? Yeah. Encourage folks.
I guess, you know, I mean, our whole role's around encouraging and getting people to kind of work alongside and not to be beating them with a big stick, telling them off. But we have just in the last couple of days had a couple of seabirds come in and been mauled.
Ah, no.
And evidences from our camera work that we do and from the damage is that it is dogs.
Is that down beach or something?
Bryant Track. And so we are going to get a little bit more vocal and proactive about asking people to keep their dogs on a lead when they're on those tracks. At the south end of the beach, we really shouldn't have dogs running freely. And dogs should be under control. If they're just on the beach, fine. But if they go up into the dunes or into the bush or off track, it's just not okay. You know, like Little Blues are coming in at dusk and dawn. So they also get mauled by dogs a lot. We've had evidence of that in the past, not this year, but in other years. And now we've had these like really strong evidence of dogs mauling these seabirds. And so, yeah, that's been pretty devastating for the team.
Because
we spend months and months and so many hours like looking after these birds. And they're really long-lived, so they don't just easily get replaced. Like, it takes a long time for them to breed, like one chick, and then takes 6 or 7 years before they become to, you know, get to breeding age. And they live, like, up to 30 years. So I always say, like, they are our true locals. They've been here, like, longer than most of us. So it's pretty devastating. And some of these dogs are coming out at night, so they're not being kept under control, whereas dogs should be inside or in a kennel or something at night. You know, for many reasons you don't want dogs, more, you know, roaming, as well as for the dog's own safety.
So
we are going to put out a bit of publicity and put more signs up. And, yeah. So that's been a bit disappointing. And it's also really disappointing for many of our volunteers that do this work, because they're the ones that have been picking up dead bodies. And that sucks. It's really devastating.
Be responsible dog owners, folks. And, you don't want to undo all the hard work, like you've just been talking about, all the hours and hours you put into it to and look after our reasonably rare native species, I'd say.
Really rare on the mainland.
Okay, well, I'll try to remember every week to say that. Keep your dogs on a lead on the mostly the south end of the beach sort of thing.
End and then Bryant Track. And around Manu Bay.
Okay. But up the sort of estuary end is not so many nesting up there?
Yeah, no, not the seabirds aren't nesting, but that's kind of where you have to watch out more for the shorebirds.
Right.
So, like, sometimes I even see posts where people are like, oh, look at my fun dog, he loves chasing birds. It's like, we don't actually want our dogs to chase birds, and I'm always horrified when I've let mine loose and she chases. So I always put her back on the line if she does it.
Yeah.
We really don't want our dogs and encourage our dogs to hunt or chase anything, unless you have a farm dog that, like, you know, gets the cows or the sheep. But no farmer wants their dog just roaming around or catching,
eating the neighbor's lambs or whatever.
You know, I mean, I used to be on the farm and they used to say, if your dog comes on my land, I'll shoot it. I'd be like, okay. You know, like, we kind of, not that we're going to shoot any dog, but we kind of need to have the same, hey, dogs should be under control, should be on a lead, or they should be recalled, you know, and run in safe areas. So that's all we ask for.
There's a time that we did some sort of doggy obedience course or something here in Whangaroa team.
Yeah, I think there is sometimes still a bit of training, you know, like offered. Like Amanda used to do stuff. And, we have also talked, you know, because you can get these kind of Kiwi aversion kind of courses, you know, that dogs have to go through, and you kind of wonder whether you could do one for seabirds.
Is it like a shock collar-y sort of one?
I don't know how they do it. I haven't attended a course myself, but, But, you know, it's pretty simple. You just put your dog on a lead. It's not asking much.
Yeah, when you're at the beach, you know, it's also just a limited location as well. It's not all the time. It's just when you're at that end of the beach. It's not a huge ask, but
these are literally roaming dogs coming in. They're not on a lead. They've got collars on, and they're also coming in at night.
I wonder if there's stray dogs are regular, because the other day I was driving up to Hutawa Road and I seen a brown and white dog, happy as Larry, with a chicken in its mouth. So I don't know whether he's got an owner or not, but anyway, he was pretty pleased with himself. Got someone's chicken.
Apparently, there's a few potentially some stray dogs. I don't know.
Well, I guess, I mean, these dogs do have collars on, so they're probably not strays.
Oh well. Watch your doggies, folks, and we'll look forward to the updates on
on the
Yes.
Back to the video.
Back to the video. Yeah. Yes.
So you check out our Give a Little page.
Yeah, Give a Little page on Give a Little, or you can get it to through the
website,
through the cuttyroproject.co.nz.
Yeah, yeah,
yep.
It's all there.
Yep.
Yeah. And I did not start playing. Whoa, it does not start playing.
And do check out the video, and that could be a fun competition. Do you agree with Crystal it's awesome? Would you agree with Louis that it could be awesomer?
Yeah.
And they have promised, of course, to put the bloopers out at 15,000, you were saying, Crystal.
What?
When you get up to 15,000, you're going to put the bloopers reel out. Right. As a tease for the people.
Yeah, true.
That's a good incentive.
Yeah.
You can see the real deal.
See how Louis got a rash on his inner thigh.
Yes, indeed. Oh, it was not pretty.
Oh, good on. Is there anything else you want to add? Better let just go. Do you think?
Back to work.
Yeah,
yeah. But do some work
tomorrow. So we've got a big day with lots of volunteers
deploying traps and things.
Yeah, base stations.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
With chopped up rabbit. Is that what you still use?
No, we use toxins.
Toxins.
The rabbit goes in the traps.
The bait stations. Yeah. Got you.
2 or 3 times a year we fill the bait stations. So that's, that's our kind of the bulk of what we do.
Mm. Right on.
Yeah.
And you may recognise, you'd recognise Crystal. Maybe you've listened to the morning show. She's on there a few times with Aaron. But,
I'm sure they would recognise me.
But you'd realise Louis' dulcet tones from the Fourth Generation show. When's that on, Louis?
I guess I better plug it. It's Thursday, 8:40. Sounds very specific, but anyway, 8:40, round about 10 o'clock. So, yeah, I just play obscure music. So if you want to hear something you wouldn't hear on the radio normally, then have a listen. Actually, I was gonna plug Brett's show as well. You were saying,
yes.
Why were we talking about Brett?
Because he was in the studio here just before.
He's our volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
He's a trap maker for you.
That's
fellas.
Right. Yeah. One way you can volunteer is that you can make traps, and normally that's with Brett. And Brett has started a show recently as well, so
he has.
Plug that too.
6:30 tonight, DJ Savage, what did he call it? DJ Savage, What the Funk, he's called it. Great show, folks. Check that one out later on today.
Sounds good.
And Louis' show Thursday, what did you say, 8:40?
8:40
to be exact.
Till whenever.
I hope
10
you
o'clock.
Guys are plugging the Give a Little.
And the Give a Little. On our shows.
On your show.
Yeah, big time.
So I've got one more week to give it a plug. Next Friday, you're saying it shuts out.
Huh? Yeah.
The Give a Little, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, you want hopefully some good local businesses to join in the
donations. Double and your donations. Donation yep. with BizWorks right now.
Yeah.
Every little bit counts, folks.
Every little bit counts, yep.
Right on. Oh, good on you. Keep up the good work, you too. Thanks for coming to the studio. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Craig.
And in honour of your thing the other day, I'm going to play a Kate Bush song. I don't think I've ever played Kate Bush on the show, but introduce this one for us, Louis. I know it's one of your favourites.
Oh, is it just called Wuthering Heights?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. This is a classic. Enjoy this, folks.
That's from Louis' mouth. All right, thanks, Steve. Cheers. This is Wuthering Heights, Kate Bush.
Who it gets done?
looks good on you.
Yeah, thanks. That's for, and that's it for the show anyway, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks again to Crystal and Louie from the Cutty Road Project coming in. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week out there, folks.